Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase. Although that's a little bit of a fib right now, right? Donick, not present. Has anyone seen Willie?
It's been many moons since I've seen Mr. Willie Donick.
I suspect the next time we see him, he won't even have hair. Oh, wait a minute. That's probably the case, yeah.
Now paging Willie D.
Would Willie Donick come down to the studios, please? Willie Donick to the studios.
Beeler.
I don't think he's going to make it. He's in Vancouver. Even if he got on a private jet, he wouldn't make it before the show's in. Tonight, Predators and Canucks in Vancouver. That'll be a little late-night hockey. 9 o'clock puck drop to wrap up this four-game road trip up in Western Canada. I'll have pregame for you starting at 8, and the Predators are desperately looking to end on a high note. They have won 2 of 3. But they need to get this third one, and they got really good news. Brock Besser, a young man who is very good for the Canucks, got hurt in their last game, and they have already ruled him out for tonight's contest. So no Brock Besser for the Canucks, who currently are in first in the Pacific Division. And it looks like they've already said he's going to miss the next couple of games. But Brock Besser out of the lineup, Vancouver atop the Pacific. And so the Predators are going to try to collect some points tonight in Vancouver before heading home and taking on Barry Trotz and company, the New York Islanders, on Thursday night. Chase McCabe. Where's Chase? Paging Chase McCabe. Chase to the studios, please. Chase to the studios. He'll be here soon. He will. We do. We have tracked him down. He is here. But right now, Teron Davenport. Paging Teron Davenport. TD. TD to the studio, please. TD to the studio.
Present.
Hey, all right. Hey, Teron, what's up?
What's going on?
Thank you for being here.
No problem. On duty calls.
Elijah Campbell's behind the glass. Thank God somebody's here.
Hey, I'm here.
Right?
I clocked in.
You gotta push the buttons, man, or nobody's going to be able to hear us.
Yeah, we'd be in real trouble if I didn't show up.
Yeah, that would be problems. So let's start before we get into a bunch of off-season stuff. Did you get a chance to sample the XFL product over the weekend?
I most certainly did, and I was pleasantly, not surprised, but pleasantly watching Houston, quarterbacked by Philip Walker, a Temple product, and I proceeded to watch him throw not one, not two, not three, but 4 touchdowns, and I watched him just showcase his ability, and I was very pleased with that.
4 touchdowns.
That's right, and they were some good ones, too. Some good ones. Drop shots. He scrambled, broke the pocket, ran to his left, and uncorked a beautiful throw to the corner of the end zone for a touchdown. First series, he 51-yard touchdown. Philip Walker, the former Colt, should be on an NFL roster. It's a crime that he isn't, but he's going to light up the XFL and hopefully get a shot.
I was going to say, some of these guys, let's be honest, this is how it works. They will get discovered, and they will get an opportunity. And we'll see a lot of these guys that you're watching in training camps around the NFL. Now, it'll be up to them to make it. But you'll see guys littered all around in late July, early August. You'll see guys littered on training camp rosters. And I guarantee you some of them will stick on roster. Somebody's going to make a roster.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
The way it works.
Yep. And look, they're really the one sport that doesn't have the feeder system, right? I mean, the NBA barely does, but they do at least have something. Like, the NFL really has nothing, right? Their feeder system is college football.
I need a pencil. Not so fast, my friend.
Okay.
They have a free feeder system. Well, I mean, the coaches get paid, but the athletes don't. That's a rabbit hole we could jump down that I'm not going to do right now, but NCAA.
Yeah, so I said college football is their feeder system.
We're going to see their feeder system in full action later this month. Combine.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, but they could probably use something on the professional level, you know, where, I mean, look, I still to this day, I have no proof, and I have no idea if it really would be around today, but I think it would have lasted a good while. Like, I believe the USFL would have worked, absolutely would have worked. They just got too, as they say in the South, too big for their britches.
Yeah, there was a guy running it.
Yeah.
You know.
He just wanted to compete with the NFL, and that's not the approach.
He got a dollar out of it.
Well, did they even get a dollar? I'm not sure they got a dollar, did they?
I think it was like 70-something cents.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was like converted over, you know, Canadian, and they got even less. So it was bad. But, yeah, I mean, they don't have to compete with the NFL. It's about just having a viable option that's professional.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. It's professional, right? We're talking about a feeder system where kids are not paid. They still have to go to class. And they don't get to fully concentrate on their craft. At least at this level, you can concentrate on your craft. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, not at all. I think this league actually that was unveiled yesterday, or Saturday rather, I think is definitely a viable option as a feeder system, with air quotes. But I don't think the NFL is going to pay and invest money into a league while they have college football going the way it does. I don't see that, because, I mean, it's like, you know, why pay money for something when you could get it for free? You know?
The thing they have going for them is the networks, too.
Exactly. And
you don't have to go to True Crime TV or find those.
Right.
Like you, ABC, ESPN,
right, Fox.
Fox.
I didn't realize that Fox was involved.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely a legitimate league. I mean, they have, and then they're expanding it with the apps. You know, you got fantasy. It's definitely a good thing. So I think what they're doing, and even you got Vegas involved too, and with the over-unders and the spread. So it's definitely a good thing. And these players in this league are legit options to move on to the NFL. Even just looking at just the various rosters, I think they did a really good job of just stockpiling legitimate players. I mean, you look at Will Hill, right? You know, he's someone that played with the Ravens, the Giants. He had some issues, but to see him still play is really good. Ahmad Dixon is another one. There are a lot of players in this league. Sean Oakman. I really was happy to see him on a roster and see him getting a play, and he actually played really well. This is a guy that was potentially a first or second round draft pick coming out of Baylor. Had the accusation there, and you know, was able to beat that. And I that whole situation is a shame, but it's great seeing him now get a chance to play professional football, something that was taken from him because of being accused of rape, right, or sexual assault. And now he's back playing. So, you know, props to him to be able to do that.
I did not get a chance to see it. It wasn't because I'm protesting the XFL. My schedule just did not align for me to watch. It's not like I didn't make the effort. I will. So I'm not against the XFL. I just didn't get a chance to check it out this weekend. What did people take in? By the way, we're going to talk to Tom Hart, who's with the SEC Network, and he's been calling SEC basketball games and, of course, was in the booth calling XFL this weekend. So we'll find out his thoughts. But overall, I mean, obviously there's some completely different things. There's a one, you know, you can go for one, two, or three after a touchdown. The kickoff is certainly different.
Yeah.
In fact, that is – I don't know what to make of it. That's pretty interesting. Where are they lined up?
They're lined up with 10 yards away from each other, or 5 yards away from
each
other.
Right, and
I don't remember
how far
exactly
downfield,
where.
And they just stand there frozen until,
yeah.
And the ball has to be kicked between the 20 and the end zone.
Yeah, and if it's not, you get the ball on the 45? Opposing team's 45 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's completely different. But so there's obviously a lot of differences, the access to the coaches and players. Mm-hmm. I saw Pat McAfee. I mean, I've seen highlights and stuff. You know, the guy makes a horrible decision on a punt, and Pat McAfee sits right on the bench with him.
Yeah,
like what are you thinking,
trying
man?
To hear that. and I mean, the guy's explanation was valid. He thought that someone had touched the ball, so he was just trying to, you know, recover it. But I like the access, though. I think it's good. You just have to be careful because there are certain imagine I laugh at it, but imagine, like, Mike Vrabel. You know what I mean?
Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. And see, at least with Bill Belichick, he's just not going to say anything. One of the things that I like, it's kind of a gift and a curse with Coach Vrabel.
Good point. I know where you're going.
Coach Vrabel, he's going, you know where you stand with Coach, period. You know where you stand, right? And he doesn't pull punches. So imagine in a situation where whatever happened and the Brett Kern, right? The Brett Kern fake punt, that doesn't work. Hey, Coach, why did you call that? I would pay money just to see the look on Coach Vrabel's face.
Do you think, and by the way, we've talked to you every Monday throughout the entire course of the season and now into the off season. We haven't talked about the look that he has. Like the slanted, the eye, it's not shut. Left eye is it's like just there's a slit in it. He's kind of like cockeyed. Like I got two German Shepherds, when they hear a weird noise, they tilt their head. So he's kind of got the head tilted a little bit. Left eye is a little bit closed or just maybe open just a little bit. Maybe he would just do that on a question, just sit there and stare at you with the head tilted, the eye, left eye closed. We haven't really talked about that look that he seems to be caught on camera every week.
Yeah, it's caught on camera every week, and it's also caught on if you watch the press conference. Some of the questions that poor man gets asked and the looks that he gives to kind of, keep himself from blowing up.
You're right.
It's definitely unique. I would never choose, like, if I were to play, have to choose someone to play against poker-wise, he would be the guy. Because he, like I said, you always know.
No question.
His face is going to show up. Mine does, too. So, it would probably be a pretty good match of two guys who just can't hide their emotions.
Great point. I used to tell Floyd Reese many, many times, if I've told him once, I've told him 100 times, I would never play poker with Floyd Reese. Like, he was truly the definition of a general manager. He you cannot get a good read on Floyd. Mm. But you're right. Vrabel, yeah, he would not. You would want to play poker with him because I just think his emotions, they would be on the sleeve and you would be able to know if he's bluffing or not.
There's an old song by the Rude Boys. It's called Written All Over Your Face. That's Vrabel's music right there. Written All Over Your Face. He'll tell it.
No doubt about it. So this is going to be a really tough question. What conference is going to have the most players represented at the Combine in Indianapolis? This is a really tough question.
No, I think it's the conference that people hate on the most, and that's the SEC.
Wow. Did you look? How did you know that?
Come on.
The SEC is correct. That
you know
is
where
number
the ballers
one.
Are.
All right, but here's where it gets interesting. So we're going to go down the, the Power Five. Mm-hmm. So who's going to be second on this list? Who's got the second most players invited to the Combine? What conference?
If I had to guess, I would say ACC.
ACC. The ACC is fourth.
Wow.
On that list. How about that?
So second most, let's see. Oh, well, I'm going to go, I'll go with Big 12.
Big 12 was fifth. ACC fourth. Big 12, fifth. SEC, one. You're missing two and three.
Big 10.
Big 10 was second.
Mm-hmm.
Pac-12 was third. That's interesting.
I tell you, there are a lot of really, really good football players in the Pac-12. I mean, a lot of them. You look at Utah alone, I would venture to say Utah is about seven players at the Combine. I would venture to say
seven from Utah?
I would venture to say that.
Are they all on defense?
No, they have two. I mean, Tyler Huntley is a legit quarterback. And then, obviously, Zach Moss. So that's two. You got the safety, two DBs. Yeah, I could see five guys on that. You got the safety, the corner, Johnson. You got Bradley and Nate. Yeah, I could see 6 to 7 guys at the combine. We could look it up over the break.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll come back. We'll talk about the combine. What will the Titans be looking for? You'll be in attendance?
Yes,
Indianapolis?
Sir.
Okay. Yeah. The offseason is just around the corner as we sit here. Well, the offseason is here. Free agency and everything that's going to happen in the offseason is just around the corner. It will be full speed ahead. Green light, go, after Indianapolis wraps up at the end of the month. So more with Teron Davenport. Talking with TD next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Yeah, Chase is here now.
I'm tardy. I know. I'm sorry.
Man.
Talking with TD, Teron Davenport.
Shook ones, man. Woo! This is part of the pregame soundtrack right here back in college.
Oh, really?
Oh, man, this is warrior music.
Is this
right
what you
here.
Put together?
Hey, listen, I don't have any hair on my head, but if I did, it would be standing right up.
Did you have a lot of hair in your playing days?
I had the wavy hair, man.
Did
360
you?
Degrees, you get sick looking at my hair, man. I had the waves, boy. I'm trying to tell you. Then I just say, you know, I'm going to go with a different look.
Do you miss the waves?
No, I like the bald head look. Because here's the thing, right? I could give myself a haircut whenever I want. So I don't go through. And I love the way Elijah just let this beat keep playing.
He's
you know what I'm saying?
Because it puts you in a good mood.
I love it. But, you know, going to the barbershop, I always love to do it. But I don't always have an hour and a half to 2 hours to get my hair cut, you know? And especially when you're doing it once a week. Got frustrated doing that a couple times. And one time I had an appointment and the barber never showed up. So I said, you know what? We're going to shave him on down and just keep it like that.
Hour and a half to 2 hours to get a haircut?
Hey, listen, man.
Man.
We
obviously went to different barbers.
Hey, listen, I'm trying to tell you, man. Barbershops, if you go with a barber that is fire, you're going to wait for a while. It's
wow,
just the
okay.
way it is.
All right.
You know.
I guess I'm not going to a barber that's on fire. She's been cutting my hair for a long time. Sorry.
It's a different thing in the black community.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it's all good.
Is it? You know what? I'm not even
going to ever see?
No,
you ever see Coming to America?
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
It's like
I'm not even going to go there.
Said,
I was going to literally ask you, is that the movie? Is that? You know, coming to America, that's when I think of the barbershop.
That's what I think of. You hear the funniest talk.
Yeah.
He said, Rocky Marciano.
He's 100 years old.
He's 100 years. He whooped Joe Louis's. I'm not going to say the rest.
What a classic.
That's funny.
That's
and they're making a sequel,
movie.
Too, which I don't know how I feel about that. But
Eddie Murphy did Saturday Night Live, and it looks like he's coming back to everything.
Yeah, he's.
He's going to be doing Coming to America. Another Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
And he's going to be doing stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine?
Oh,
Eddie Murphy going around touring
to
the circuit.
I'd love
doing
to go
stand-up.
Oh, crap.
Good luck getting tickets to that.
Right, exactly. It's been a long time, so.
Yeah, it had been, what, 20 years since he had done SNL?
Yeah.
Is that right?
He's hilarious, man. That's a great movie, man, with Arsenio Hall. And
oh, it's classic. For sure. All right, so we were talking about the combine. The SEC has got 93 players coming. The Big Ten has the second most players with 57. Pac-12 with 47. You brought up, you looked up Utah. They've got 9, is that correct? 9 players
off.
Going.
I said 7.
Yeah, and 8 of them are on defense. Is that right?
8 on defense. The lone offensive player is Zach Moss. Tyler Huntley is not on the list. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean – I mean, I know there's other guys that didn't go to the combine that played in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. No, without a doubt. I'm just saying it's –
like, that is not your automatic ticket, for sure. ACC has 35, and the Big 12 has 29. That's the Power 5, and they have the most going. The conference that has the most representation outside of the Power 5 would be – what would be your guess for that? Top conference outside of the Power 5 with the most representation in Indianapolis would be?
The American Athletic or whatever it's called.
That's what I would have guessed.
The AAC.
Yep.
Not the AAF, but the AAC.
Huh. Yep.
Conference, that's what I figured. By the way, Conference USA, only 11 players. I'm surprised. Conference USA, I mean, only 11 players. Interest. Sun Belt, 7. But, yeah, the AAC, Memphis has probably got a lot. They're going to get invited, huh?
Yeah, I believe they have 2 running backs.
The 2 running backs, yeah.
They probably have something. These schools, that's the thing that's so great about college football, is you're seeing talent being spread out a little bit more, right? And so many schools are producing players. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have 4.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into the off-season stuff, which we've been talking about already. Mm-hmm. This is just a critical off-season. Dare I say maybe John Robinson's biggest off-season since he's been here, right? Because he had a lot of work to do early on, but let's be honest. Unless he was just going to be a disaster for a general manager, they had nowhere to go but up.
Yeah,
they had so many holes, and you could basically say – you would think anything they do is going to be an upgrade, right? And I know it's not that easy and that simple, but now you've got things in place. Now you're coming off a successful season. Now there's expectations. And now you've got tough decisions. You've got you've got guys with rookie contracts coming up or ready now that you've had success to make the big bucks. What do? You can't pay everybody. And so that is what John Robinson and the crew over there is going to have to figure out of who to keep, who to let go, what's the best way to skin this cat this offseason. Because you have to keep the momentum going. That's what I've been saying. They're now the iron is hot. You've got to keep striking. You cannot fall back next year. You can't have a 7-9 season. All this will be for naught.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely cannot take a step backwards at this point. The foundation has been laid, so now it's time to build upon that foundation. And it's been established that this team is a legit force within this league. So here's the thing. What was it that started going when this team really got on their run? Derrick Henry.
Running back. Yeah.
But if you ask Derrick Henry, what was it that had to happen for him to really be maximum? And that's the thing, right? Derrick Henry is the ultimate teammate. Ultimate. This guy will break a run for 60 yards and not take a single bit of credit for it. It's always, well, you know, my guys up front, they blocked it, and, man, my receivers, they went down. It's always that.
That's one reason why you want a guy like that in your locker room.
It's never, oh, well, you know, I ran through this dude's face and stiff-armed this guy and then outran it. It's never that, even when it happens. So I say that to say – Derek always gives credit first to the offensive line. Why is that important? Jack Conklin's a free agent. Jack Conklin has to be back. And I get it. He's going to be expensive. But he, I think, is going to be the most coveted free agent if he goes out of all their top guys. If he hits the market, he's going to be the most coveted one. That's why, in my opinion, that Conklin deal has to be done first. It has to be done first. And then from there, you get the other ones worked out. Conklin has said he wants to come back. You know, and Conklin also said that it was a gamble, right, not placing the fifth, accepting the fifth-year option. He knows it paid off for him. So now you just got to figure out how to make that work. That's the first thing that happened. Because, man, it's just when you have an offensive line, I say it time and time again, there isn't a unit in sports outside of maybe a pitcher and catcher. There isn't but that's 2 people. We're talking about 5. There isn't a unit in sports that has to be more cohesive than the offensive line. So that being said, you have something really good working, roll with it, keep it going, and that's why Conklin has to come back.
I think to your point on what you were just talking about, the tough part about Logan Ryan is some of the stuff you were saying about Derrick Henry in the room, Logan Ryan provides that. Leadership, he's exactly what you're looking for in a room. And then his versatility on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very versatile in what he can do on the field. He's exactly what you're looking for in the locker room and off the field. But unfortunately for him, he was like the last guy. It's like all the other contracts had to be. So you've paid Byard. You've paid Vaccaro. You've paid Butler. Adoree Jackson is going to get paid. Question mark? Period? Question mark? Yes?
Question mark.
Yeah. I would lean toward yes, though, right?
I would lean towards yes.
So could you really have a secondary where everybody is getting paid? Where like double? I mean, he's going to do – if Malcolm Butler's making $12 million, Logan Ryan's going to want at least $12 million a year.
Yeah.
So can you make it, what, 13?
13. I believe.
Oh, is it 13? Yeah. Well, he's going to want 13 then. Can you really pay the entire secondary?
And then you're going to have to decide, are you picking up the fifth-year option on Adoree, which that's going to take
Corey
his price
Davis
up.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. That's why I'm saying address the offensive line.
Yeah.
Keep that going. I get it. Logan Ryan, and he is, as I've said before, one of my top five favorite players I've ever interacted with on an NFL level. You know, so this isn't coming from – it's coming from a strong opinion that's positive of him. But I don't know that Logan Ryan has a higher level of importance than Jack Conklin in this thing that we call winning. You know what I mean? I don't think that it's there. And the other thing is, rest assured, they'll be drafting a corner or two in this draft. They're going to have to – and they looked at a lot of corners last year.
And there are some pretty good ones that are going
to
be available.
There's plenty that will be available, from 29 to 61, so on and so forth. So can a rookie corner come in and give you exactly what Logan Ryan did? No, without a doubt, he cannot. But at the same time, you have to uphold that cohesiveness and that continuity on the offensive line.
All right, we're going to go down another checklist on the other side. We'll hit a lot more things with the Titans offseason with Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Of course, talking with TD, you can hear on his podcast. Check that out. And then Friday nights during the season, you guys just finished, did your last one, right?
Yeah, that's a
– So that's going to be in a little bit of a
– That's yeah, a hibernation.
But then, whenever we get to some important dates, right, you guys will be back in the saddle talking football. That's on Friday nights, 6 to 8, here on 102.5 The Game. More with TD next. Teron Davenport in studio with us, having some fun with him. So let's go over the list. We were kind of talking about Conklin and Ryan and Henry and those guys. We know the big four, that they need to figure out how they're going to tackle the big four. But let's talk about guys that are also tough decisions, because we can make cases on why you'd want to bring them back. But we just know this is part of the business, and they're not coming back. So let's start with the toughest, the guy that you could probably make a case for, somebody like me who's been covering them since they've been in Nashville. You can make the strong case it was their best free agent signing they've ever had. And Floyd had a lot of good ones when he was here. But Delanie Walker's probably the best free agent signing they have ever had. What do you do with Delanie Walker? Because the last 2 years he's basically been out injured.
I mean, business never personal. I think you go to him, you have to ask him, okay, are you going to take a cut? You know, and if he doesn't take a cut, you unfortunately have to move on. It's just, that's the bottom line.
Do they want him to say yes to that?
I think so. I mean,
but what's a cut? Like, what does he need to come back at?
That he's going to have to
without insulting
haircut.
Him.
Yeah, I mean, I would say at least half. So, 3.5, 4 million, you mm-hmm. know. But the thing is, you have to figure out, that's so tough. Because, like, this ankle, I don't know if he's going to be able to fully come back from that. You know, as much as you want to side with Delaney, his shape that he's in and everything, I don't know that he's going to, because, I mean, it, and he knew at some point there was going to be something dealing with it.
Right.
But he didn't know it was going to sideline him this long.
Here's the hard part with this conversation. It goes back to what Darren said earlier. You cannot take steps back with this team. You have to keep moving forward. And you have to keep growing the momentum that you have. The fan base is back. The fan base is locked in. They're probably going to be featured on primetime quite a bit next year. People are going to be watching the Titans. And to do that, you got to find the money to pay some of these guys. And unfortunately, if you have an oft-injured last 2 years Delaney Walker, that, let's just be honest, he's not going to be the same Delaney Walker that he was 3 years ago. Cam Wake, I put in that category, even though, you know, they may keep him. Who knows? There are some others. You just have to make that tough decision. And the pay cut would have to be significant in my mind, because couldn't they could say, what'd you say, about $6 million, $8
million? I don't know that it's that high. I know if they, because Butler's another one.
Yeah.
You save about six or seven.
Yeah.
You know.
And right there, those guys that we've been talking about that you would like to bring back, but you don't know if you have the room for it. Well, you cut a Delaney Walker, all of a sudden you have the room. Or another free agent. So.
Well, and that's the thing. I think a lot of this is going to deal with what happens with outside free agents.
Right.
I firmly believe that. I think if they decide, okay, you know what, they're going to go chase, for the sake of names, Dante Fowler Jr., who I know buku Titans fans want him here. So let's mention him. If they decide they're going to go chase him, then that's going to cost them, you know, a Delaney Walker and a Cam Wake, right? But if they decide they go chase a Marcus Golden, that might just cost them Cam Wake. Or you see what I mean? So there's levels to it, how they go about. If they want to be players on day one of free agency, yeah, you're going to have to part ways. But then what happens if you part ways with these guys and you don't get the fish that you're trying to catch? Now you're kind of stuck with relying upon the draft. And obviously there's a lot of things that can be done in the draft, but if you don't get the guys that you release other guys to have the money to get, now, you know, you're kind of treading water.
You brought him up, Cameron Wake. What are they going to do there?
Well, here's the thing, and Chase, we had Chuck Smith on early in the season, pass rush teacher, professor, guru, however you want to put it, and he talked about the importance of having a culture of pass rush, right? Of having a guy like Harold Landry being able to go to someone else and pull things from, right? You have to be beyond just watching moves on an iPad, right? You have to have somebody that you could go to. I think that's where Cam Wake comes into play. Again, for me, I would not release Cam Wake unless I signed a veteran pass rusher. And I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about a legit veteran pass rusher, right? I'm not talking about Jordan Jenkins, who I like. I think is really good value. I don't release Cam Wake to sign Jordan Jenkins. You know, I release Cam Wake to sign Marcus Golden, to sign Ngakoue, to sign, you know what I mean? And then you're going to draft a pass rusher too. So you have to make sure that you have that culture there for him to be able to come in and learn from and be able to pull things to add to his toolbox. So that's my long way of saying it depends.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Just see what else you can do. And you know you have that option in case you need to use it.
Right.
Correa.
I bring Kamale back, frankly. Six out of the last eight games, he had a sack. And it's bigger than just sacks, right? He gives you a guy that will pressure the quarterback, too. The one thing with Correa that I think has to improve is his ability to set the edge. I think that's something that you saw him get sucked inside and then runs went outside of him multiple times, and that can't happen. Coincidentally, Correa's agent, David Cantor, is the same agent of Bradley Anae,
who is a guy that the Titans are having. Guess where he's from? Utah. one of the eight Utah guys, defensive guys in the combine, but they have the same agent. So we'll see how that thing works too.
Here's another tough one. This is kind of going back to like Logan Ryan, Wesley Woodyard. He's everything you're looking for. Everything. On the field, off the field, inside the room. But
unless he takes the veteran minimum, I think you have to move on.
Okay. Did I miss anybody?
Tajay Sharp.
There's another. There's one more good one. So what do you do with Tajay?
I like the versatility that he brings. Right, he's got to line up inside. He can line up outside. I think Tajay would be a guy. I honestly would wait till after the draft. If he's still out there after the draft, bring him back.
I'll take it a step further, though. If I'm him, I don't want to come back. I want to go somewhere that I'm going to be able to play more because they just didn't use him. Yeah, and they didn't have to. I mean, once you had your full complement, Adam Humphries, once he got back, I mean, that's an upgrade. No offense to Tajay, but I think that there are other teams that he could go to and make a bigger impact and have more playing time.
I think if he went to the Saints, you know, and they used him in a Marcus Colston type of role, I think he would be very productive. You know, the thing I wonder is if Tajay is looking at it this way. Okay, I sign a 3-4 year deal. I battle for a spot this upcoming year, but I know, I mean, listen, Corey Davis is not going to, I will be shocked if he's back after the fifth year, right? So then it's like, okay, well, he moves on. Now Tajay slides into that spot. But at the same time, you got the draft. That's why I think a lot of Tajay, everything with him depends on after the draft. So that being said, I would be looking to go someplace else. You know, and again, the Saints are a really good destination for him.
Interesting. I can't imagine that he's still hanging around after the draft, but could be.
I mean, there's been some really good players hanging around.
True.
You know, fortunately for Tajay, there's no off-the-field stuff.
Yep,
whatsoever.
That's right.
So.
All right, we will come back and wrap up the first hour. More with Teron Davenport on the other side, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. We're hitting the road again this year. Predators are on the road. They're in Vancouver tonight against the Canucks. But you're going to have a chance to hit the road with the team. You're not going to fly with them. But we've got another trip. Last year we did one to St. Louis. This year it's going to be to Columbus, Ohio to see the Blue Jackets and the Predators. That game will be on Saturday, March 14th at Nationwide Arena. That's the home of the Blue Jackets. Tickets will go on sale Monday, February 17th at 10 a.m. The trip is organized by Simply a Fan. That's visit simplyafan.com for other upcoming sports adventures. Transportation provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com. Those tickets go fast. So if you want to be a part of that trip, last year everybody had a blast. I would definitely get involved soon. Teron Davenport in studio with us, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Talking with TD is his podcast. Check it out. And then on Friday nights, especially throughout the course of the football season, Teron and Chase are on Friday nights 6 to 8 right here on 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, we have a good time. And the thing that I really like about that show that we did a lot this year is Teron's friend Emory Hunt joined us a lot because we started looking ahead well before the Titans would know any of their needs in the draft. We started covering that. And obviously there was a point in the season where we talked about quarterbacks when they made the change, when it became apparent that they were moving on from Marcus Mariota. I don't think any of us really would have guessed what would have happened with Ryan Tannehill, but we talked to him about different quarterbacks. And I am curious if the game plan is they're going to address that need in the draft, or if they get Tannehill re-signed, they're going to go get a veteran backup, they're going to go that route and worry about quarterback later. What do you think?
Well, I think it goes back to what you said, right? They can't take a step backwards. Mm-hmm. I feel like as if whoever they get at 29 is taking a step backwards temporarily. I firmly believe that, right? And I think Tannehill is the right man for this job. I think they need to bring him back, and that's really it. You know, Tannehill is going to be back in a Titans uniform. It's just a matter of how much is it going
to
be.
My esteemed cohort next to me for years has been banging the table that they have to have a solid backup. Well, they did that when mm-hmm. they traded for Tannehill. Well, now, if Ryan Tannehill's the guy, you have Logan Woodside as the other quarterback on the roster. I agree with him, and I know he's going to keep banging the table until they do it again. They need to go sign a solid backup for Tannehill because the injury stuff doesn't go away. I mean, you still have to worry about that. I know the reason he didn't play 16 games this year, but he still didn't play 16 games. So I think it's a way to – I mean, you got to have another insurance policy. So are there some names out there, and there are going to be a lot of quarterbacks available that – you would see as a fit to this offense?
Honestly, as a backup, I don't really see Nate Sudfeld, maybe. You know, he's a guy. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, he's probably someone. You know, Colt McCoy would be out there. But these are just – I don't think that they should sign a guy. I think Woodside is a legitimate option. You know Vrabel likes him. Anytime you ask about the quarterbacks – he's mentioning Logan, you know, so I don't think they sign anybody.
But do you have faith? Because when you look at the description of the backup quarterback, it's okay, you don't want them to play to be the starter because that's not why you brought them in. But if they need to get you one or two games, they can get you one or two games. Do you firmly believe Logan Woodside can do that?
I think he can, actually. He's a guy who has a very firm understanding of the offense. I mean, he came in the preseason. Now, granted, it was going against – guys that obviously aren't going to be on par with the guys that he would be playing against mm-hmm. if he were to start a game. But at the same time, he was playing with guys that wouldn't be on that par either. I think Logan Woodside could come in, and I think he could win them games. I think, you know, on a temporary type of situation, I think he could carry it over.
How much do you think GMs, including John Robinson, are paying attention to the XFL from an evaluation standpoint?
I mean – GMs like John Robinson, who don't leave any stone unturned, I think are paying close attention to it. I firmly believe that. And anywhere you can find talent, you're gonna look. So I think they are paying close attention.
Because I thought it was interesting. There were, you know, a majority of the players, and I watched this weekend. I was entertained by it. I thought mm-hmm. I liked some of the rules. I liked the access that they give. I like how they're using the officials. And even though it's a mix of, you know, some college officials – but I thought it was a good product for the first weekend. But what's interesting is a majority of these players were on practice squads, or they, you know, were at the end of the rosters and cut, or, you know, have been out of the league for a couple of years. But you did have had one from West Virginia that was a safety that they don't even think he's going to play the whole year because he's just getting ready for the draft.
Yeah, Kenny Washington.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. But I'll say this. We're talking about backup quarterbacks. Philip Walker, Houston's quarterback, we – talked about him in the opening segment.
Yep.
He would be an excellent option for a team to have as their backup quarterback and challenge for a starting role. Why? Well, there was a show, The Undefeated. They did a special yesterday. It's the year of the black quarterback. And Deshaun Watson was one of the guys on the panel. And Deshaun said something that was very interesting. He said that defensive coordinators that he's talked to told him that the way he plays, his style of play, is the hardest to defend. And having a backup quarterback or a guy on the roster that could simulate that is invaluable. When the Titans played the Ravens,
mm-hmm.
what was the talk? Oh, Marcus Mariota is, he's going to get – I think Philip Walker would be awesome for that. And I saw it firsthand in Baltimore as well when they had Tyrod Taylor, right. You know, and he was a backup.
What the Saints have done, you know, with their packages. And
yeah, but, I mean, more or less what I'm saying is Tyrod Taylor as a backup quarterback simulating, you know, this was a time when they played the 49ers and they had him, you know, running Colin Kaepernick stuff and doing that. So I think Philip Walker – will be a legit option, too. That's someone who the Titans actually should look to as an option as a backup quarterback.
All right, we'll come back. More on the other side
Hour number two with Teron Davenport. This is what I know at 11:45. We'll head east. We'll go to Knoxville. Vince Ferrara at noon. He joins us every Monday at high noon. And Tom Hart at 1 o'clock. A lot more coming here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.